Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Table Manners.
Why are we whispering?
Because they're doing a press junket next door.
They won't be able to hear us talking.
Maybe they can.
No, but this is a bedroom, so they're insulated.
Okay, anyway, we are at the Soho Hotel for lunch. We haven't done this before. We are getting room service because we are at a hotel. However, we have bought a little offering of Alex's banana bread.
That he made last night.
That Alex made last night.
After saving lives.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Alex.
And he's not in the best frame of mind.
What do you mean?
Because of giving up smoking.
Oh, yeah. He was ferociously eating those chocolates last night.
I know. He said all the pleasure in his life has gone. That's very sad.
So I told him to make banana bread. He was
still
in a grump.
I don't think that gave him pleasure,
no, I don't think so either. We have David Schwimmer doing the podcast today.
Jessie, will you stop whispering?
Mum, I'm trying to be respectful of the fact that they're doing a press junket next door.
Okay, hurry up, because I want to cough.
David Schwimmer is in town to promote his new Sky show called Intelligence, which he's one of the producers on and also stars in it with Nick Mohammed, which is about a CIA agent coming and working
with
MI5.
I think it's
that. They're not called MI5 though, they're called like GG something.
GCHQ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an actual thing?
Yeah. GCHQ is the Central Intelligence. It's intelligence, it's not spying. So they listen in on things and they hack into computers and things like that.
So he's here doing a load of press.
We're lucky he's fitted us in.
Absolutely. But yeah, I hope we can learn all about David Schwimmer and food. I'm not going to bring up the holiday armadillo. I'm not going to bring up the Moist Maker turkey sandwich. I'm just going to get it out now in the intro. Just going to get it out there.
I want to hear about his bar mitzvah menu.
Yeah. Obviously, the tough questions are going to be asked by Lenny.
Yeah.
David Schwimmer coming up on Table Manners. David Schwimmer, welcome to Table Manners.
Thank you.
I hear you're a massive foodie. So what does a day in New York look like for you with food?
My day would start with making coffee first. Okay. I like to grind, you know, my own beans in the morning and do French press and...
Mum's kind of sounded a bit dodged just then. It's because my husband has about 10,000 different coffee paraphernalia and I'm living with my mum at the moment. So like she's rolling
and my
her
son,
eyes.
The son, as well.
The grinding coffee things grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Driving you crazy.
Every morning.
Oh, right.
And the French press and there's a Vietnamese thing that we got and he bought a new thing back from the States last week.
I know.
Week.
I told him to hide it from you.
I'm not that bonkers with it. I just have my ritual, my routine, as does everyone, I think, with their morning.
And what sort of coffee?
Well, right now I'm into this place called Gasoline Alley, which has their own blend. And it's, I think they work with Intelligentsia.
Lovely.
But it's, so it's just, I like a medium roast usually. And, you know, so I'll go by the store, I'll buy a few bags and every couple of days.
So it's coffee?
Coffee in the morning. Yeah. And then my go-to breakfast would usually be either I'll make I really like a good porridge, but it takes a while. So I'll use McCann's Irish oatmeal, which takes quite a bit of time. And then I'll chop up a bunch of the fruit that I like. Mm-hmm. I'll put like fresh apples and maybe I'll bang up some almonds, you know, some roasted almonds. I'll bang those up. I'll put other fruit, or I'll make a fruit compote out of, I'll just throw a bunch of mixed berries and some dried fruit. I'll cut up some dates and prunes and apricots and
into your compote.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll nice. Just,
wow. I'll boil it down with some water. And it's incredible. You know, no added sugar. The fruit is plenty sweet. I'll do that.
Are you healthy? You sound like you're quite healthy.
I'm pretty healthy. Yeah. And then my go-to breakfast will be something really simple, like toast with fresh almond butter or fresh peanut butter and blueberries on top.
That's the best thing about Whole Foods. They have the nut butters that you can just do.
Yeah, I buy it every week from Whole Foods and you just...
Do you drink normal milk?
Yeah. I don't mind other milk. I don't mind almond milk and oat milk, but I drink normal milk. I mean, regular, not normal. But
you see, it's real hard-hitting questions we're asking here.
It's really
stressful.
But my other go-to breakfast, it's either one of those or I'll do avocado, you know, like my own mashed avocado on toast with olive oil and lemon juice, salt, pepper.
So you cook, like you're one of the rare New Yorkers that actually kind of cook.
I'll do mostly breakfast. I like to eat out. Yeah, I do. Right. Or sometimes order in. But I also have a daughter, so I'll make stuff I'll make breakfast for her every day or dinner with her, you know, lunch she has at school. So I cook a bit, but I'm not a brilliant cooker.
And where do you go out to eat in the evenings?
Like everywhere.
I mean,
I do everything. I mean, I could, you know.
Are there some spots that you, like some of your daughter's favorites that kind of...
She likes this restaurant called Vic's, which I like a lot too. It's on Great Jones downtown. And she likes the pasta there and the salad. She's a vegetarian, self-declared vegetarian.
When did that happen?
When she was 5.
Oh, wow.
4 or 5. Yeah, she just said, I'm a vegetarian.
Was it from a film or a book?
I think I think she had been somewhere with her mom where they were talking about vegetarianism and animal rights, and I think it just hit her. Also, I think she just developed a taste for she never really enjoyed eggs, even, you know. She just didn't.
Yeah,
she wasn't fussed.
The only her weakness still today is chicken nuggets, so or chicken tenders.
But you can get really good vegan ones.
Yes, I know, I've gotten those for her, and I bake those for her. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So, were you brought up in New York?
No, my parents are New Yorkers. Yeah. My mom's from Queens. My dad's from Brooklyn. I was born in Queens, but when I was very young, my parents moved, my sister and I, the whole family moved to L.A.
That's very unusual for New Yorkers to want to go to L.A.
Well, they wanted to get out of the cold, and they had job opportunities as young lawyers. Okay. So, but I grew up in a culturally Jewish household, and going to temple, and I had my bar mitzvah.
Your bar mitzvah?
It was at University Synagogue in L.A.,
How did it go?
It was good.
Yeah?
I mean,
did all right.
Look, I think it's a little. I would say it's. I grappled with the idea that later in life that as a 13-year-old boy that was my passage into manhood. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I think it's a little young. And I also felt that it went, you know, it went well. I learned all my lines. I understood my Torah path. You know, I understood everything, but it didn't have the meaning that I think it would as an older young man.
Feel like the passage is to the presence. Like Alex, my brother's bar mitzvah gift. It wasn't even a gift list, but like the presents he got was incredible.
Yeah.
Over the top.
That's what left the worst taste in my mouth about the whole thing is, you know, at that age, it's just about a party.
Yeah.
And so it's a deal. Like, what kid isn't going to say, yeah, I'll memorize all this if I get a big party and presents and checks from relatives? Of course. And I think something's really lost in the...
I think ours was quite serious as well.
What are you talking about? We were all vomiting in the toilets, Mum.
Darling, that was the party. But after done the singing, he laned. He sang the whole Parsha.
So he could get drunk. And now, Mum, he was so drunk.
Okay,
fine.
But we had a nice sculpture.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we and had a very sculpture. Questionable belly dance.
We had a belly dance.
You always have to have a theme.
Yeah, so we did kind of a Middle Eastern theme.
She was a very pasty blonde woman.
Yeah.
Who was and a belly dancer.
Who had a dagger in her mouth. Do you remember? Her name was Dawn. Odd. Not very exotic.
Did you but have a theme?
It was fun.
I had a theme. Mine was magic.
So I think that's quite good.
I had roaming magicians. I had chocolate white rabbits on the tables as party favorites.
I wish I'd thought of that.
Listen, I mean, let's get real. I mean, I don't feel like it. I think that it's quite different. It's evolved into something that I think parents feel the pressure, the peer pressure to compete with, you know, the rest of the synagogue, the rest of the congregation, the rest of the parents that, of the community to throw the great party. And I think a lot is lost on the kids. I think it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Will your daughter get bat mitzvah, do you think?
I don't think so. I'm not observant in that way, and that's a personal decision. Mm. And I wouldn't kind of insist on her doing that without her understanding what it is. If she wants, as a grown woman, as an adult woman, once she's educated and informed, it's her decision.
Yeah.
And that's how I think it should be.
That's actually, I'm thinking about having a bat mitzvah. Just because my husband's not Jewish, and I feel like it's a very important part to my upbringing, but I was too busy apparently at 13 to go to
synagogue,
Heder, and you know do the learning.
Are you religious?
I'm
observant?
Not religious, but I want to be able to understand. If I'm going to do Hanukkah with them, I want to be able to kind of give the knowledge to explain about Hanukkah or give or I think Pesach.
You could do that. You could educate without having that guilt that you seem to be experiencing.
Yeah, think of the party.
I know, so maybe I'm just...
We can have a magic theme, darling.
Yeah, we can do. I like the white rabbits, it's nice. So growing up in your household, who cooked?
My mom. This is great. Okay, I'm glad we're talking about this. But first of all, my mom's a great cook. A lot of the New York Jewish cultural dishes were passed on to her, and she passed them on to us. My favorite dish of my mom's is her brisket, her sweet and sour brisket.
Yeah, brisket.
She did gribness. She did, you know, everything.
Yeah. What gribness?
It's like chicken fat. It's
chicken
like
fat.
Burned.
You boil chicken. It down. You yeah. cook it down.
Until it's and like fried chicken fat. And then you mix
like
it either with...
scratching.
You can mix like, it with onion or...
Yeah, that's right. And you put it usually in the Thanksgiving stuffing would have the gribness. It would have liver. It would have, you know, the chicken fat. It would... and
I like the sound of that.
She would also do great potato pancakes, you know, latkes. Mm. And so I grew up with a lot of that. Her mother, I remember, made cheddar cheese and pickle sandwiches. this is like, you know, the New York traditional Jewish kind of fare. Yeah. My mom now is Bubby. To my daughter, right? She's Bubby. And my dad's Opa. To my daughter.
That's a good name.
Yeah, so it's, you know, Eastern European.
So which families. Whereabouts in Eastern Europe? Poland or Russia?
No, Poland, Austria, France. Those are, you know, my grandparents and great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. Austria-Hungary and, yeah.
So do you have gefilte fish?
Yeah.
Chopped and fried or boiled?
No, boiled.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. I never enjoyed it.
Chopped and fried's better, I think.
It?
Yeah.
And chopped liver with onions.
Yeah,
chopped liver.
It's funny. We've presented that to many a goy when we've cooked for them, and they kind of look at chopped liver like they're petrified. I feel like it's...
And then when you eat it, it's so delicious.
But I don't know delicious for someone that hasn't been brought up on it. I don't know.
Yeah, it can be.
You know, I don't know whether it's just because it's inbuilt
in us.
Pickled
herring.
Yeah.
So do you like your matzo balls light or heavy?
I don't like them heavy and dense. They should be light and fluffy.
Light. Yeah.
Do you make matzo balls?
No, I have done with my mom. You know, I have done, but I don't make them regularly.
So your daughter will never have chicken soup and matzo balls because she's
a veggie. Of course she will. We'll go to Russin.
She
doesn't know that she's had... She doesn't mind chicken soup, actually.
Oh, okay, she'll have that good.
A broth. Ignorance is bliss sometimes, yeah. So, okay, so she has had a matzo ball in her life.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank God for that.
Yeah, she likes chicken soup.
But you live predominantly in New York.
Yeah.
That's unusual if you're in the film, TV business or not.
No,
Well, no, it's pretty equally divided. Okay. But I guess more and more people are probably based in Los Angeles and California. I've never felt California was for me, even though I lived there and worked there a great deal. And when we, you know, we shot the series Friends in California, but as soon as it was coming to an end, I already was making plans to move to New York. I also spent a lot of time in Chicago, where I went to uni and have a theater company still to this day in Chicago. So I'm back and forth there a lot. I've always felt more of a big city energy was something I prefer.
And the theater.
I also, well, yeah. And my parents, every year, we'd make several trips back to New York to see all our relatives, all my aunts and uncles and grandparents. And then my mom grew up going to the theater. So we would go to New York for maybe 5 or 6 days and see a play or two a day.
Wow.
And we just like blast through a lot of theater and musical theater. So I grew up, you know, going to the theater quite a bit.
Can you sing?
I can act my way through a song, but I don't have
But you've not been in musical theater.
I have. I've been in musical theater.
Sorry,
musical.
I should know.
Oh,
what
no,
have
no,
you
not,
been in?
Not professionally.
Oh, not?
All in, at college and in high school.
Would you like, if there was one role in musical theater, would you choose?
Which one would I choose? Oh, if I could sing?
Yeah, if you could sing.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, if I, there's so many beautiful...
I know.
Beautiful roles
Sky Masterson.
I mean, it's funny because I played Moonface Martin in Anything Goes.
Anything. Oh, Jesse was in Anything Goes.
I was Reno Sweeney.
Oh, I can see that.
Oh,
I can see that.
She was also Miss Adelaide.
It was only because I sung. I wasn't like the actress, but they were like, oh, fuck it, give her the bloody solo. So there you go.
Yeah.
But I love how my mum now brings it back to her pushy, like, you
know, I'm not
my
Jewish. No.
I want to know what your theatre company are doing at the moment in Chicago.
Right now, we do predominantly original work or original adaptations of classics. A play that is in rehearsal right now is written by one of our younger ensemble members, African-American woman who also an incredibly talented director and actress. She's directing her own play. It's about one of the mayors in Chicago, the first woman mayor, who famously took time to live in one of the worst housing projects in the city. On principle, she decided to live there herself as mayor. And it's about that chapter in Chicago's history.
Is it true?
Yeah.
How long was she a successful mayor?
She was.
Because it's funny, because my sister's an actress and she was in this TV show called Boss.
Oh, yeah.
It was about a corrupt mayor.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny.
Chicago is full
of Chicago
mayors.
She sounds like a good one, so.
Yeah.
Isn't that where the Obamas started out?
Yeah.
In Chicago.
In fact, their daughters were part of our theater company's younger youth ensemble. Yeah.
So you spend your time, I mean, look, you're promoting Intelligence at the moment here.
Yeah.
And then you were filming here. So you do that. Then you live in New York. Then you sound like you're everywhere all
the time.
Yeah,
I travel quite a bit. But home is New York. And I try to, you know, since my daughter's, you know, been here, I've really prioritized this chapter of my life is really about my daughter. Mm. And not just for her, but for me too. I mean, I genuinely think it's the most meaningful part of my life is, you know, this time with her. So I've limited my other travel because I want to be with her as much as possible. And I'm very grateful that Sky and Expectation, who the production company, when it comes to shooting Intelligence, they really let me dictate the schedule so that it's really mostly over the summer, which is during her school break, so she can be here.
So she came over and watched.
Oh, yeah. So she's here during shooting. And luckily, her mom's a Brit, so she's got eight cousins her age.
Amazing.
Here. She's got all her aunts and uncles on her mom's side that are here. So she has a great time, and she has another family here. So, but yeah, I spend time going to see my parents, who are still in L.A., and my sister and her husband in L.A., or working here and mostly in New York.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We always ask everyone what their last meal would be. So whether that's your for last supper, your death row meal, and it's a starter main pud with a drink of choice.
If you're going on a desert island for a year, maybe. Because I hate the death row.
It can be whatever you want.
Yeah,
it can be.
Yeah.
It makes me feel really weird.
Fine, we won't say death row meal.
Because okay. You wouldn't eat if you were going to die, I don't think.
I don't know. Who
maybe
knows?
You would.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you may be right.
You know, they've cut back. They don't give you the special request anymore in some of the states.
Is that right?
Honest to God, yeah, I heard it.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. They're cutting back.
That's really sad.
No, that's awful, isn't it?
So mull that, think about that. You can come back
to it.
All
right. You're going on a desert island for a year. So right. You've got to take something with you that in your head.
Or my last meal before I go to the island.
Yes.
That's a good twist, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be a big meal. Because I'd want some of all my faves. But I think a really good, do you pronounce it fillet steak?
Yeah.
Fillet.
Because we pronounce
Could
it
fillet.
Could
you say fillet? Fillet.
Yeah, a really good fillet with, I think, some broccoli sauteed with olive oil and garlic, some really good crispy thick cut chips.
Is there somewhere you go for steak in New
York? Yeah, exactly. There's an amazing place in the East Village called Lucienne. It's a French kind of bistro, and they do an amazing steak au poivre, and that's what I'd have.
Thank God,
so maybe you'd have
Lucienne's meat.
I would also do like a really good chopped salad to start.
I love chopped salad. Yeah,
Americans really do it really well. Salad.
I can't get one in London like that.
That's too bad. Yeah. Well, you guys should open a restaurant.
We'd kill each other. We'd kill each other.
Yeah.
So potentially you get it from Lucien, your steak. That would be a lovely meal.
Steak
okay,
au poivre.
Fine,
yeah.
Steak au poivre.
Chopped salad first.
Chopped salad.
Oh, I feel like you can have chopped salad as well. So it's an addition. Like that's not going to be your starter, right?
No, that would be my starter.
Yes, really? Chopped salad's a gorgeous starter.
I know, but I kind of think it's just in with everything.
If it's very good, darling.
Also with really good fresh baked bread and butter. With the salad.
Do you like salted or unsalted butter?
I like salted.
Yeah.
This is really important to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then pudding? Dessert, sorry. That's you must okay. know all these
I
words
do,
because
do,
you
yeah.
were married to a Brit. So, yeah.
By the way, I'm not finished with my main.
Sorry. So, here we go. Let's go.
Yeah, I'd want a side
okay.
of, I think, like a really good pasta on the side.
Now we're cooking.
So,
where are you getting the pasta from?
Well, I'm thinking, I was thinking this place, Pascal Jones, which is an Italian place downtown, or Il Mulino.
I know about Il Mulino. I think I've been to Il Mulino, yeah.
They do a really good, probably like a cacio e pepe.
You're not the first.
Simple, but really good one.
So where's your favorite cacio e pepe then in New York? Because we are in search of the greatest cacio e pepe, because everyone talks about
here.
It for their last supper. Like, it's crazy.
I mean, I like the one at Vic's. I like, and Pascal Jones is a really good one. And Il Mulino. I mean, they're all good. I don't know if I'd pick a favorite.
Have you ever attempted to make it yourself?
No.
Because Samin Nosrat, you do know the food writer, she did Eat Fat, Salt, Heat, Acid.
She's
amazing.
Yeah.
So we did a New York series, and we had her, and she's just the most charming, wonderful person, and she was talking about Cacio e Pepe. And actually, it's really, I mean, I bet mine is not very good, but you use some of the water of the pasta
to emulsify
to
the
emulsify
oil.
The butter. She's used butter, but you kind of use cheese, it, and it thickens it up so nicely, and it's really quite simple. But anyway, okay, so what else? Is it just
pudding?
Are you onto pudding yet?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
No, do you like cheese? You haven't had a cheese course.
Well, there's a lot of cheese in the cacio e pepe.
Okay.
But I do love cheese.
Your best cheese.
You know, I like a Gouda. I really like a Gouda.
That's your best cheese?
Well, it's not my best. I mean, it's what I enjoy.
I like Gouda.
Darling, it might be quite exotic if you're in the States.
I don't know, is it? Sorry to shit on your Gouda.
No,
but like,
that's all right.
Sorry.
There's some really good Gouda.
Jessie, that's because we have I need to maybe
if you
explore.
Get an aged Gouda, darling, it's delicious. she doesn't know.
Maybe. I mean, I'm talking, I wouldn't just have that. I'm talking about a variety.
A cheese plate,
I would, what is it? It's called epois.
That's my new favorite.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
A good stinky cheese.
I'm
a good stinky French.
I shat on your Gouda.
Yeah, you didn't hear the whole thing.
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Yeah, Jessie, you get
into
it. I
feel like the Gouda's like a Volvo. Do you know what I mean? It's trusty. It's reliable, but it's not going to be like a showstopper.
But it's nice and nutty. If you get the right one,
yes,
it's good.
Yes, Jessie.
Comté. Do you like comté?
Sweet and nutty.
Is that a Gouda? Am I going to find
comté,
out?
Comté. No, it isn't. Or manchego.
Yeah.
With membrillo.
Okay.
okay.
A good, what was I going to, not the epois.
You had me at epois.
Yeah. Oh, like a truffle-infused pecorino. Have you ever had?
No, but I can imagine. Fantastic.
Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah, I got thumbs up over there.
I thought you were going time.
Now,
enough cheese.
I don't know how you guys eat your cheese, but I need crackers, like good crackers. I don't mind the occasional sweet biscuit with it, too.
Biscuit
meaning cookie, but you know that kind of...
Yeah, digestive.
Digestive.
Or you call them graham crackers.
No.
What's graham crackers, then?
Graham crackers, that's a little sweeter. Digestive, I like a digestive with... something.
Yeah, epois. It's
when you
epois
get a variety
or a
pack
blue
of...
or a Roquefort or Stilton.
Roquefort, yeah.
Right. Anyway, so, but I like a good cracker.
Do you eat your cheese first, like as an appetizer?
No.
Or do you have it to like a European cheese course?
I would do it for dessert with some port
or
red wine.
Yeah. What's your best red wine?
I like Châteauneuf du Pape. I mean, I kind of like
reliable.
That.
Reliable.
Yeah, and yeah. I like that kind of big, bright, juicy.
Dessert?
Yeah, dessert. I like different desserts. It really depends on my mood. I mean, I like your sticky toffee pudding.
Everybody
loves to know whether you have kind of adopted any Anglo, like, you know, are you an Anglophile? Like, you know?
No.
Not bothered about.
No, I mean,
I need Marmite right now.
No,
I need
never.
Clotted cream.
Don't never. Like
No.
David.
You've been
so well.
Tricked your entire lives. Someone,
what?
You've been seriously duped.
No.
Yes, yes.
We love Marmite.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Have you ever tried it with cheese?
I tried it once and that was enough.
Why don't you try it with cheese and a bit of your nut butter and then come talk to me.
Okay. I assure you I won't do that.
He won't eat Marmite, darling.
No.
You either love it or you hate it.
You'll eat chicken liver, chopped liver, but you
won't
eat Marmite.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan. Like, I don't mind it occasionally, but I don't eat it regularly.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, I like a really good piece of fresh pie.
Like apple pie?
Apple pie is not my favorite.
Okay, cherry?
That's not my favorite either.
Sharper.
Let him speak. Pie charades.
Strawberry rhubarb.
Ooh,
wow! I've never heard that combination.
Wow, you guys are really missing out. Strawberry rhubarb pie because it's sweet and tart.
Rhubarb.
Talking about mixing strawberries with rhubarb.
Yeah.
Or there's a special rhubarb called strawberry.
No. It's a mix of strawberries and rhubarb.
That makes lots of sense to me. Yeah,
it's incredible. That with the little like really good vanilla ice cream.
Where'd you get it from?
Uh-huh.
Where'd you get it from?
You know, it's hard to find. Not a lot of places
I'm
bake it.
I'm going to stop making pies.
But
no one needs that in our house.
I also love a good chocolate cream pie. Chocolate cream pie.
See, I don't know what that is, chocolate.
What is that?
Oh,
is it just chocolate with cream?
Do you ever go to L.A.?
Yes.
You eat meat as well?
House of Pies. Is it?
No, okay. Apple Pan.
Oh, I've had the burger there.
Yeah.
The burger's the burger, great.
All they do,
yeah.
All they do,
yeah.
Are hamburgers.
Yeah.
One, like the hickory burger with like a smoky hickory barbecue sauce. Hickory burger. They also do a tuna sandwich, which is great. Oh. But burgers, chips, fries, and pie. And they usually have six fresh pies available.
Jesse, why haven't we ever been there?
Because we're fucking fat. Yeah. Mom,
the chocolate cream pie at the Apple Pan
is the best
out of this world.
So what is a chocolate cream pie?
So it's what we would call like chocolate pudding. It's, do you know what pudding is? Do you guys have chocolate pudding?
Is it like when it's like, is it
thicker
like
than a mousse?
Not like a souffle.
It's almost like a creme brulee, the consistency of a creme brulee.
Yeah.
Or a...
like a chocolate pot.
Have I made that?
No, don't think so.
More you know a really good Greek yogurt or really good creamy yogurt that's thick and creamy?
It's
that consistency, but milk chocolate.
Would you call it or a mud dark pie? Chocolate. Is it a mud pie?
No.
Oh, okay.
Mud pie is a combination of, I think it's caramel or it's chocolate and caramel is a mud pie, I believe, or butterscotch. I can't remember. But
chocolate cream pie.
So it's a great crust, really good, a little salt
it's
in
a
the crust.
It's pastry.
Yeah, it's a pastry crust.
Definitely pastry, not biscuits crunched up.
No, it's a pastry crust that has a little salt in it, which is great with the chocolate.
Oh, great.
A chocolate pudding is really what it's almost like the consistency
of a thick. So would it ooze if you cut it? Would it ooze?
No, it's like
it's set perfect, like,
it's chilled and it's served cold, which is important.
It's served cold.
With fresh whipped cream. And it's the combination of those three.
I'm going to try and do this.
Out of this world.
I'm going to try and do this.
You should.
I am going to try.
It's great. Now, I have to say, the last cake I made, actually not the last cake I made, because I made the last one I made, actually, they both turned out great. I'm not a big baker or anything, but I was determined for my daughter to bake her dream cake, which was this, you know, like a yellow sponge with fresh whipped cream and fresh strawberries.
Like a Victoria's sponge.
Yeah, but a big three-layer cake with fresh whipped cream, strawberries, and a yellow cake, right? And that turned out well. But the cake I made for my own birthday was...
David, somebody should be making you your own cake for your own
birthday. I just wanted to experiment
because I really wanted to try.
Yeah, seriously. was a dark chocolate coffee cake.
Mm,
so I made fresh espresso and fresh coffee, and I infused it with this really good dark chocolate, and I made a triple layer buttercream. Yeah, buttercream
chocolate. Did everyone eat it?
Everyone. I mean, it was really good. It was really good. I know I'll never make a cake that good again.
You should do Celebrity British Bake Off.
I was asked to do, and I almost did it this year for charity. You know, they do it for charity, and I really want to, but this schedule this year didn't work out, but I really want to. I'm
but
a big fan.
You're not a bit like your character in Intelligence. You're completely different. I mean, obviously you are, because you're playing but you're not fussy.
But how do
you're open, you embrace things.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Was it quite important to have... play a very different role to Ross, almost as like another TV role?
Yeah, it was, I didn't even think about that because for me that show was long ago and we ended 15 years ago. So I don't even think of that. For me it was just about, I was really excited about this character and working with Nick. You know, Nick, who I had met before and we had improvised together before on something else. And I just thought after meeting him and working with him for a few days, I was just, I really want to work with this guy. So then out of the blue, he emailed me this idea, like a one-page kind of treatment of what this show was. And I thought it was really original because of the workplace setting. I liked the juxtaposition of the high stakes of GCHQ and what they have to deal with.
Yeah.
And the idea of a workplace comedy where you're...
they're all a bit geeky.
Yeah, and kind of inept or reckless or whatever. And this character, I think I was really drawn to this character because of the moment we're in right now. And certainly in my country, the some of the folks running things at the moment, I felt like this character was a way of exorcising some of my anger and outrage, to play a guy who is, he's not very intelligent, but he gets away with it because he's confident. So he's a narcissist. He's entitled, self-important, misogynist, racist, homophobic. Yeah. And I felt like
there are a lot of them about.
Yes, there are, and I wanted to kind of channel some of that into this character and into a comedy, because I feel like surely I'm not the only one feeling what I'm feeling in these days. And I thought, well, let's give people a release, let's give people a 21-minute. Break from reality and let them laugh at this guy for once. I was attracted to it for that reason as well.
Do you prefer doing comedy?
Do you like a little bit of both?
You like a sweet assault, a comedy.
It's really true. I've never thought of it. Using food as an analogy, but I wouldn't have Cacio e Pepe at lunch and dinner. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd have it once every day if it's really good. But, I have it once in a while, and then I like to do something else. Mm-hmm. I like to mix it up. Keeps me more interested and excited to do a comedy 1 year and then a more dramatic role the next, or to write or to direct or to theater, film, TV. You know what I mean? I just keep mixing it up. It keeps things more interesting to me. So,
what are you up to after Intelligence? Like, what's are you writing?
So I'm working with I directed a play in Chicago with my company. Now it's almost 2 years ago. It's a comedy about reparations from slavery.
Oh, wow.
Set in today on a cotton plantation in the South, in Texas. It's written by one of our ensemble members, this young African-American writer and actor who grew up in Texas. So it's inspired by some of the folks that he grew up with. And I directed it on stage. He's the playwright. And it was a big, it was a success in Chicago. So we pitched it to a company and set it up as a movie. So now he just finished the first draft of the screenplay. And we'll have notes on Friday from the company.
Fantastic.
And I'm hoping that my role would be helping produce that movie. I wouldn't direct it. We'd probably
find. And you wouldn't be in it.
No, I don't think there's really a role for me in it. By the way, it's almost entire. It's all women in the cast. We've introduced one or two small supporting male roles, but one of the great things about it is that it's a comedy about race and class and reparations. And it's a diverse cast of all women. And so it's refreshing to see, if this gets made into a movie, it would be refreshing to see not only an entirely female-driven story, but none of the stories have to do with, love life or romance or a guy. It's all about point of view and character. And so it's really, I think, truly original.
Were you able to be involved in the writing when Friends was happening? Because I know that, like, was that allowed? Because, I mean, you obviously were interested because...
Yeah, it was a great spirit of collaboration on set with the writers.
Right.
But no, we weren't involved with the writing of the scripts or pitching episodes or anything like that. Where we came in as actors and contributed in our way was we would get the first draft of a script, and we would then spend all day rehearsing it and putting on its feet. And in doing so, we would find things that, what if we said this instead? Maybe this would feel more organic. And we would pitch at the end of every day. We would do a run through for the writers, and we'd show them what we came up with. And it's a one act play every week, right? So at the end of the day, we do everything as written. Then we say, by the way, here's an alternative joke that we came up with during rehearsal. Can we pitch it to you? So we would then pitch, physical comedy, or pitch an alternate line, or we'd just have a discussion, say, this one moment, if it was a more dramatic moment with, say, Rachel and my character Ross, you would say, this feels like we need one more beat here before we go to this, you know, this scene or before they kiss or before they storm out or whatever. So we would really work in a collaborative way with the writers to massage things so that we felt we really owned it as an actor.
I mean, I have no idea how that usually works because you had like live audiences, but like how is that quite unusual for the actors to have such?
It is.
So that's it probably is. What makes it such a unique show.
I think so. First of all, the writing was genuinely just great.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that because they embraced the collaborative, you know, they embraced the talent of the cast. You know, they said, these, you know, we cast well, let's hear them out, trust, you know, yeah. And that empowered us as well to be our best. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's empowering because I was on another show before Friends where I was a series regular. Luckily, it didn't do more. We didn't shoot more than 12 episodes because it was kind of torture because I felt my ideas weren't, they weren't interested in hearing me out. They weren't. And I felt like, oh, I might as well just be a prop, really, a prop that speaks. And that was frustrating. So I was really pleased to be in a collaborative room and environment.
I've got to find out your karaoke song, if you have one.
I don't have one because, as we established before, I don't really sing well.
But you might have to at a bar mitzvah.
Yes.
Yeah. Who knows?
Thank you. Yeah.
Good. Or a wedding.
Come on, what would it be?
Or a bat mitzvah.
Or yes. A bat mitzvah.
Jess's will invite you. My bat mitzvah. We're going to do it to Jess's.
I'm waiting for my invite.
Okay. So what would it be? If you could sing.
It would probably be, well, I love Journey.
Oh. Well,
the band Journey.
Yeah. Don't Stop Believing.
That's... I mean, that's one.
I used to sing that to my son before his exams.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, what? Sorry. We need to offer you some cake. You don't have to eat it right now.
You can take it home. You can
what
keep
is it? Did you
it.
Make it?
Yeah.
My son made it.
Oh.
Her son, the doctor.
My son's a doctor. Did I mention this?
Ooh, what kind of cake is it?
It's a banana cake.
I love banana cake.
So we usually would have offered you and made you delicious food.
Well, next time
so this
time
is
you
our
better.
Offering. If you can share it with all these people who
oh,
are...
Oh, that would be lovely. Here, I'll get it.
That's just there.
Well, no, you don't have to eat it. You don't. You also, don't have to eat it now. Go
just take it. Just there for you.
But it's
in
there.
Case you
it's
want
for
it.
You in this hard time of press junkets and promo. You
yeah, it smells. You've it's now it's got chocolate cake. Bits in it.
Oh
as well.
Right, so it's banana chocolate cake.
Yeah.
All right, and is it?
I hope it's all right.
So it's not like banana chocolate bread. It's a.
It's like banana bread.
We call it banana bread. And you know what would be really good on it?
You want honest feedback?
Oh my god! Yeah, saying it's dry.
Do you want,
it looks a bit dry to
do you
me.
You want honest feedback, or am I supposed to pretend it's like
it
the most
dry
amazing?
Well, no, I went
toast
in.
Toast it; it'll
deeper.
Be fine.
I went in deeper.
Try.
So. Yeah, it's drier than I.
Jesse, it's dry.
All right, Paul Hollywood.
No,
steady on. Come on, then.
I mean,
taste. Let's go.
It's drier than I make.
Fine. Let's do the taste.
Because he's given up smoking, so he's bad tempered.
Oh my God, he's smelling it.
It's dry.
Jessica.
I didn't make it, Dr. Alex.
Well, I didn't make it either. I've never served dry bloody banana cake.
Also, I mean...
It's not that dry.
It's dry. the problem is there's not enough banana. Jessie, there's not enough banana.
Jesse, this is not that dry. You'd have eaten
it's
it.
Dry.
It's
dry. It's
dry. I have to say, you can barely taste banana.
What he's really
glad
gone
he didn't
wrong.
Do a whole meal. Jesus.
Well, I'm a specialist in banana bread and banana.
Well, now we fucking know.
Is that dry?
It could also be
it's
the
dry.
What kind of bananas are you
nice?
Using?
You know what it
what
is.
What kind of bananas
they weren't
are you using?
Overripe.
Yeah, that was the problem.
I think that's the problem.
Also, look at where the chips are. They're all the way at the bottom. All
we
the
didn't.
Chocolates
well,
on
that's
the bottom.
Not there.
There's this is
look
riddled.
David, look. This is
what is
right
that?
Through.
I've never
this is
seen
a bit
that
of a
in my
shit
life.
Bread.
I've never.
Jesse, I've really embarrassed.
Alex obviously didn't follow the
you
recipe.
Guys, come on.
My son is an anaesthetist.
You should be embarrassed. You should be embarrassed. Look
we're
at that.
Really embarrassed for
what is
fuck's
that?
Sake. My God.
What is that? That's
well,
not
that
a
was
chip.
Chocolate.
Those aren't chocolate
that,
chips.
They weren't chocolate chips. We broke divine chocolate into
but
it.
I'm not going to lie.
Look at that. There's
he was resentful
piece,
when I asked him to make it.
One piece of chocolate.
That's a fuck you to me.
That is.
That was
is,
not made with love.
That's just the worst.
Jessica, he'll be so upset.
I think he will stop smoking again. It's actually really miserable. I'm not going to lie. And I'm really glad that we
Well, we're
going
to throw it away.
But you...
That was...
I schlepped that in a bag.
I appreciate that.
I didn't make
really
it.
I really do appreciate it.
What you do get to keep is a tea towel from us.
Okay, thank you.
As an apology for the mediocre bread. It's got table manners on it.
Thank you.
I love that you... If it was me, right, if I'd you cooked that, she'd be like, Jessica, it. You've ruined it because it's Alex the doctor. It's fine. He's fine. He can be given...
He has been saving lives all day.
Yeah.
So he's a little tired.
And taking one today.
Oh my God, David Schwimmer, thank you so much for giving us your feedback.
Thank you. It's all noted.
And no, he's not coming to the bat mitzvah. And I look forward to.
I'd be scared about my nuts.
If it's catered, I will.
Oh, stop it. I'll do the cooking next time.
All right, good.
David's left now after rinsing the banana bread, and we've tucked into the room surface, and Mum, you're treating it like it is bush tucker trial.
It's not great.
Well, so we must
it's
be taking...
It's cold, darling.
It is cold, but also there's this very sad-looking poached egg in your Caesar salad right there, so...
It might have been happier when it was warm.
Well, there's just debris of dry banana bread over the table. How lovely was David Schwimmer?
Just loved him. But he didn't look a day older than when he was in Friends. That's what I couldn't get over. He was just so charming and interesting. And also so really clever and has his fingers in so many different pies.
Yeah.
So he's just very alive, very vibrant.
I'm just trying the banana bread again just to clarify. It's dry. But yeah. I did get a hint of banana in the crust. Just so you know, David, you won't know that because you wouldn't eat it. Mum, it's really bad. And Alex is amazing at banana bread. And the recipe is amazing. So I don't know what happened here. It must have been a long day.
Well, someone left it out and didn't take it out of the...
Someone left it. Oh. Me, you didn't tell me to.
Darling, use your initiative.
We were on a break! Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.